Hey, this is H1, and we're about to be running it back with another episode. Another one. And we have made it to the finish line. This is the final episode of this season. So clap it up. Clap it up, because it's going to be awesome. I'm going to end it off with a banger. H1 is here to conquer. And I made this the last one because I know this is one of the hardest things that people like cannot deal with. And this last subject that we're going to be talking about is accepting a loss. Now, I know that losing is hard, like especially losing every game in the beginning. And you know that I've lost every game. I talked about right back in the very first episode that I lost to my big brother P Money for the whole first year. So I do understand about losing, and I still lose to this day. You can look at my Lee Chess account, you can look at my chess.com account. I still lose games, but it takes a real confident person to learn from those losses, you know, and to accept that yes, I can, it's okay to lose, and it's okay to learn from your losses, and just a lot more tips to know that you're accepting a loss instead of just I'm pushing it on the back burner. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Are you excited? I know I am. I know I am excited to talk more about chess for this last episode. So if you want to become a better chess player, learn about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, chess understanding, then start right now by following this podcast, following this whole organization. It's not even an organization because this is a one-man team, but let's just pretend like this is a H1 fam organization, and y'all part of it. Y'all part of this community. And not only that, you can improve your chess by sticking with this podcast, but you can improve your chess by subscribing to my YouTube channel, Chess Knowledge with H1, and getting ready to be pumped up for this Patreon announcement that we're going to be talking about in this next segment. So stay tuned as we run it back with some more chess knowledge. Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, H1 is speaking. You like how I talk in a third person, even though there's no one else around? Like, I am H1. I could just be like I instead of H1. I like talking in a third person. But anyway, let's get into the subject of accepting a loss. Now, I don't know if you remember or not, but I lost to my big brother P Money the whole first year, and he was relentless. He did not care about my well-being. I hang pieces. He captured them. He won every single game. He played every game like it was his last game. And as little H1, because I was in fifth grade, I did not know how to combat that. This was a grown-up beating on a little kid. Let me explain. What's a good example that I can give? That's like, you know how we try to hit a fly and then the fly gets trapped in the window. I don't know why I forgot what that was. The window blinds. Yeah, the window blinds. And you can get the fly. It just makes it more easier for you. That's exactly what he was doing. He was just smacking me. He just demolished me every single game. And it wasn't just easy demolishes. This was like, he took every single piece that I had. It was horrible. P Money showed no remorse, but I remember me getting just a little bit better each game, just learning from him. And I still don't know how I was in the mindset of learning from those games, but I did, and I bettered myself, okay? and I bettered myself. Now, as H1, I've got better past my first year, but I've learned to take losses the hard way, you know? And it's kind of weird because I've seen adults and kids throw tantrums at tournaments. Let me explain. I was teaching chess one time at this school. And this kid, it was a kindergartner. Yes, I teach chess to kindergartners before. I did it. Do I like it? That's a different story. Actually, let me say that I do because, you know, it's just beautiful to see a young kid learning how to play chess. And you never know, that kid might become another Magnus Carlsen or Garry Kasparov or Bobby Fischer. So, yes, I do like teaching young kids how to play chess. I believe that you should start at a young age, and then that kid is going to grow up to be a grandmaster with 4 years of scholarships to college. And yeah, start young. You never know what might happen. But anyway, yeah, I taught this class, and this kid was in this class, and he played his full first chess game. And this was after I explained how all the pieces moved. And this kid was playing this other kindergartner. They played their games, and they was playing their games, doing their moves. And I was teaching them the moves on the way, because you don't just learn how to move all the pieces from the first try, especially if you're in first grade or a kindergartner. It's really hard. There's like, how many pieces are there to learn? Like 6 pieces? That might be wrong. Maybe it's not. Double check it for me. But as I was teaching them how to move the pieces, and as they was playing, I was realizing that the other, that this kindergartner opponent, he was getting the hang of the game. And then he started taking all the pieces of their opponents. And it was accurate moves. He would check with me to double check if he could take the piece. And I was like, yes, you can. And he took. And then this kid, he was in a situation where he realized that he didn't have any other pieces. And he only had the king. And you know what's the most stressful thing about being a chess coach? Is teaching check. Teaching check to kids, or like people that don't realize that your king can't go on squares where it's attacked, is just a hard concept for people who are learning from the beginning. And it's so hard to teach somebody that because they can't see everything yet. So you really have to watch the board and just make sure that each move that they do is not like an illegal move, because your king cannot, it can't go to a spot like that. You got to calm down with that. And then after a while of checking the king, this kid, he got the other kindergartner's king into checkmate. So after this kindergartner lost his very first game, and probably the first time he lost in his whole entire life since he's a kindergartner, 5 years old, experiencing a loss, he threw the worst tantrum I have ever seen. Like, he got so mad. And the sad part is that I had like candy for everybody after the class and stuff like that. And there's like another teacher on the side, and he was seeing this too. And he was like, do you need help? And I was like, no, I got this. I dealt with this before, blah, blah, blah. And this kid just went off. This kid didn't want to do nothing else the rest of the 30 minutes. And he lost the game. And I was telling to the kid, I try to explain to kids, let's just say before I had a kid, I was really bad with talking to kids because I kept on trying to talk to them like they was grownups. You know what I mean? So I explained to the kid, I was like, even the best player on the planet loses in chess. And I thought that was the simplest way to tell somebody that, like, even a fifth grader or like even a kindergarten, which I was expecting that he would understand that, of how significant that part was, but he didn't. And so he was mad the whole entire time, didn't play any chess, didn't even want to put up the pieces, didn't want to put up the board. I had to put him in a little corner. It was a whole thing. And his parent came around, and then he kind of calmed down once his parent came around. Usually kids calm down once their parents come around, which that's something for you to watch for. If you have some kids, just make sure that they're being on their that they're being on their best behavior. Like, I would go to the school and just surprise your kids some days, you know, just to make sure that they're doing what's right. Because I've seen some kids, oh my goodness, they needed some discipline. But that's beside the point. The point is that this kid, it took him a while to comprehend, hey, I lost a game. Now I need to just come into next week's class with a better mindset and try to learn instead of just being heartbroken. And I know this is an example by a kid, but I feel like us adults do the exact same thing when we lose. We just don't do it dramatically. We've lived life for like a long period of time, so we know how to hide our emotions to a certain extent, which is good, which is really good. You want to not cry at an actual board like the kid was doing, and not throw a tantrum. Don't throw pieces. Don't hit your opponent. Don't show violence. I wouldn't even show that you're even frustrated. I would just, usually when I lost games on my prime years of going to tournaments, I just shake my opponent's hand. I was like, okay, thank you for teaching me a lesson, because usually every game that I lost, I've learned a lesson, and I tried not to do it anymore. So this kid, what can we learn from him? That kid was a grown-up, basically a grown-up that showed all of his emotions. And usually when we lose games, we want to just make sure that we're learning from the losses and don't just sulk and be mad at yourself and not figure out the problem. Because that's the worst thing that you can do, not figure out the problem of your loss. You need to find the solution. And once you find the solution, you need to learn how to apply it in your next game. I do not know how many times I can say this, but apply the things that you learn from your losses to your next games. Okay? So take every opportunity to learn, especially if the person you lost to is very nice. For example, I didn't have a lot of people to talk to, because a lot of people did not like losing to a teenager, especially when I started going to grown-up events. Nobody ever wanted to go over the game with me and like learn what they could do better, what I could do better. They never wanted to analyze the game with me. I never had a person like that growing up, ever. I had a couple people throughout my whole chess career. A couple people, two people out of like hundreds, maybe thousands of people that I've played over 13 years. Nobody have ever asked like, hey, let's analyze the game. I had one game after the tournament that we analyzed different variations, what the game could have been like, why. And then we get to ask our opponent, hey, why didn't you do that move? What's your thought process? And when you can learn from the person that beat you or the person that you beat, that just makes chess a lot easier, a lot more fun. And that's one way that you can get over the loss, if you just learn from your opponent and talk to them more. But you might be thinking like, what if I'm the type of person that don't like talking to people? What if I'm the introvert and I'm still super mad at my opponent for beating me? If you're still mad that your opponent beat you and you can't carry on a conversation or at least go over that game with your opponent and they're trying to be super nice, man, first of all, you need to get that checked out. Second of all, just go home. If you have more games in a tournament, yeah, you know, you need to stay there. But analyze it yourself. Be a loner. There's nothing wrong with that either. I'm pretty sure Bobby Fischer did that multiple times. But if your opponent is really nice, I would take advantage of that and not just be in my feelings, you know? As H1, if your opponent is super nice, make sure you make friends so that you can learn from each other. You never know. You never know what might happen. What if your opponent, like, that beat you, like, you become, like, good friends with them, and they're like, hey, you can borrow this book, and then there's this book that's all about something that you've been working on or something that you need to work on, and it's like, whoa, that's cool. Can I borrow this? And you're like, yeah, that's cool. That's dope. Yeah, that's what can happen. Actually, that happened to me a few times. I faced expert rated players, like 2000 rated players, and they're like, hey, you want this book? And I got this book. That's how I got this book right here, right in front of me, called Art of Attack and Chess by Everyman Chess. Not saying that last name. But that's how I got that book. And then I got the book. Where's that other book at? And then I got a book from another player that I've played multiple times, Modern Chess Openings, learning chess openings was something that I needed to work on at the time, which I did. And I progressed. And now I got my set of openings that I do, or my repertoire. I've learned a lot from those books alone that I can carry on, like that I remember till this day. So that's really important. Hey, this is the waiting room segment, Chess Jokes by H1. And the joke of today is, I got a job working shifts as a piece in a 24-hour human chess game. I'm on nights this week. You get it? I'm on nights. Thanks for listening. Oh, man. Online chess. Man, what about online chess just gets on my nerves sometimes? Is it just the availability to play chess games all day, all night? Is it the thousands, tens of thousands of people that are on these platforms that are willing to play chess? Or is it like all these good players that go on this chess platform and you don't know if they're cheating or not? It could be all those things, but online chess made me the player that I am today. I can tell you that. Online chess I used the platform to practice all my openings, all my gameplay, all the strategies, all the tactics that I know personally. And it got me ready for over-the-board chess. But there are ways to not use it as an advantage. There are ways where you get stuck in this wormhole and you can't get out of it. So, this is the thing. If you're losing, are you listening? If you're losing, don't keep playing. If you're losing, do not keep playing. It's online chess, okay? It's not anything else. And you might be like, well, what if I need to keep on playing chess? There's other tips for that too. But if you're just randomly playing people, like you play a different person each match, this can apply more for bullet because you can get more absorbed into into chess. If you're playing bullet and all these different players, it can be more mundane or whatever. I would suggest if you're losing, don't keep on playing. And I'm not saying that to stop playing that whole day. I'm not saying that. I'm not even saying to stop playing for that whole hour. I just need you to do a few things. If you're losing, and these losses could come from, I just need you to take a second and breathe, okay? Breathe, go over the loss, why you lost. If you just keep on playing games like these chess platforms want you to do, you can go on a 10-game losing streak very quickly, especially in bullet. And I know because I've done it before. And then you think that, man, I'm a terrible player. Why am I playing chess? Everybody beats me. Everybody is a grandmaster on this platform for some reason. But it isn't true. It's just that our brains tricks us into thinking that, like, our brains are really heartless, you know? It's like our brains shut down once you start losing, and you don't even know it. You think that your brain accepted a loss, but you really didn't. You're still thinking about it, but subconsciously. And it happens a lot, especially when you go on a losing streak. I would say to, like, pause, take a breather after your first loss or second loss, but you shouldn't just keep on playing, because once you keep on playing, it just sucks the joy away from the game, especially if you're losing. And I went on a losing streak before. I kept on playing. 10 games, lost, won the next game. And then I went on another 5-game losing streak. You know how disappointing that is when I thought that I was going to be like, yeah, I'm going to win these next 5 games. It's going to be great. I'm already thinking about the future when the future wasn't even here yet. That was the problem with that. Don't think about the future. And that's the thing about thinking about chess ratings too. When you're at 2099 or like you're 1 point away from the rating threshold of getting past 2100, and all you have to do is beat your last opponent. Usually, if you're thinking about stuff like that from the beginning, you're not going to beat your opponent. It's not going to happen. You're either going to draw or you're going to lose. It happens all the time. That's why you should be more focused on the chessboard. There's been other different kind of ways to play chess on these platforms, on chess.com, on Lee Chess. That's why they have that, what's that function called, the Zen mode function on Lee Chess, where you don't see your opponent's rating or your opponent's name, you just see the board and your time clock. I think they have that on chess.com, but it's called something else. But that's why these platforms have that, because they know that us humans that run by the advertisements, I forgot what was the number, but it was a high number. We do it every single day, and it's just normal to us now. The billboards, social medias, you name it, it's just normal for us. And that's the exact same thing with chess. Our mind just moves. Our brain just keeps on running for some reason. And it thinks about a whole bunch of unnecessary stuff. And you just need to focus. And once you get your brain to focus on the chessboard, on making good moves, that's what you want. Because when you're on a losing streak, when you're losing game after game, your brain isn't focused anymore. I even got on losing streaks where I'm just thinking about my last game, and I'm like, man, I wasn't even thinking about good moves that game. I wasn't calculating anything. I was just doing moves just for the fun of doing moves. And that doesn't better your chess, because when you're just doing moves just to do moves, then you can't learn from your mistakes, because that wasn't the real you. Which is crazy. I just got deep on y'all. Mind blown by H1. But if you're on a losing streak, take a breather. Play your next game. If that doesn't work, I would always suggest do this. Even before you play any type of online chess, do some puzzles. That's the best thing that you can do to get your brain warmed up for a chess game. Do a couple puzzles, then play a chess game, and just see how your mindset changes when you go into the chess game. It's awesome. Or the third step, just take a second to think about your losses. Just take a second to think about how you lost, why you lost. Was it where it could be where you lost? I don't know where you're playing chess, but if you're the type of person that can't play chess near distractions, and I know I have a daughter, and it's hard for me to play chess with a daughter, and you know it sucks because my daughter just started crawling out of nowhere, and man, she's a handful. But anyway, I know that distractions can come out of nowhere, but you need to figure out why you're losing, and you need to stop it immediately. Now, back to my other subject that I was going to talk about. What if you need to keep on playing the game, or you're playing a friend and you want to keep on playing them, and you lose a game? It depends on what game you lost. For example, most grandmasters, they play a very tactical game, like a Sicilian or something, or some other opening. And then if they lose, then they go to playing solid openings, like the London or the Queen's Gambit, solid openings like that. It is good to know different openings to see, like, how to stop the bleeding. And you need to figure out how to stop the losses. Even if you get a draw, it is good to stop the loss, because that draw can lead to wins afterwards. So if you're playing somebody and you lose against them, just play more solid the next game, or try to tactical, going more tactical again, going for the win, and just see if it works out the second time. And if it doesn't, you need to change up your whole strategy really quickly. And you just need to keep on changing it up so that your opponent doesn't get used to it. I've played friends like 5 games in a row, 10 games in a row. And this is normally the strategy that you want to go against. Or if y'all playing the same opening again and again and again, and you keep on doing different variations, but you're not getting anywhere, you need to change up the opening, change up your strategy. Instead of attacking your opponent, you need to play more strategically. And it's hard to do that because all of us have our weaknesses and have our strengths. And most of our strengths aren't being more strategic. But that just comes with the game of chess. Overall, being an average good person, you need to be an average person in every single section. No matter if it's tactical, you attacking, you defending. A lot of people hate defending, but you defending, you being strategic, you winning end games, you playing the middle game. You need to be an average person in each section of the game of chess, and you need to know how to do it. Now, I guess I can go more into that with the next season, but yeah, there are different chess personalities, and there are different openings that you should just use for yourself. And sometimes, instead of just playing d4, maybe there's the opening variation that you can play with e4 that you know very well that can confuse your opponent, and y'all can just play in a different game and get rid of that loss. Just stay away from those losses. Those are just tips from the top of my head what you can do when you're facing an opponent that you have to face, and there's no way to take a breather or do like tactic puzzles. So what we need to avoid is losing 10 games and rage quitting and quitting the game of chess altogether. That's what we need to avoid. Rage quitting. Don't beat up your computer. Your mouse didn't do anything to you. Your internet connection better not be jacked up. Don't make any other reasons. Don't rage quit. There's no reason to rage quit. You need to get that out of your system. You need to change that mindset immediately, because that doesn't solve anything. It's not logical. It's like, if you're, I don't know why, once you become a Family Guy, like, every example that you have is, like, kid-oriented. But anyway, if your own blood, if your own kid did something bad or something, you're not just gonna hate them forever, right? You're not just gonna, like, rage quit, break a TV, start breaking your own stuff. Like, nah, it's your kid. You have to mold them. You have to train them, right? That's basically what you're doing. You're training yourself to become a better player. And don't just rage quit and quit the game. Because once you quit the game, then that's when your chess career ends. And then now you're... should I say that? I guess I'm saying that. Yeah, now you just become a failure. Yeah. When you just quit a game because you lost so many times that you're like, man, I hate this stupid game, man. That's a real scrub move for you to do, just to quit a game just because you lost several different times. If you stop loving chess, then that's okay. That's fine. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, homie. But I'm guessing, since you're listening to me right now, listening to this episode, I'm guessing you want to better your chess. So please, do not quit. It is good to have the desire to win every single game. That is right. And there is a time to respect your opponent's skills. Your opponent has skills. They have their own special skill set. They have their advantage over you, and you have your advantage over them. And you can't be mad at your opponent for playing better than you that game. You gotta level up. You gotta improve in your chess so that you can beat that opponent that beat you. And that's another thing too. When you start respecting all of your opponents just equally, like, and seeing that you can learn from every single one of your opponents, even the ones that you win easily. And because those ones that, even against those people that you can win against easily, you should be striving to do just accurate moves, every single move. And every single move of yours shouldn't have any inaccuracies or blunders at all, or any chances for your opponent. So basically what I'm saying is, you should always be training, and nothing that you do should just be like I can do that tomorrow, or that's just a fluke. Nothing should be like that. So everybody lose. All you have to do is train and try again. Negativity doesn't change anything. But if you stay positive about being able to gain more knowledge, then you're gonna progress in your chess playing skills.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is the waiting room segment, Chess History by H1. And the person we're going to be talking about today is Emmanuel Lasker. Now, Emmanuel Lasker was born in December 24th, 1868, in Poland. Emmanuel Lasker was a German chess player and a mathematician and a philosopher who was world chess champion for 27 years from 1894 to 1921. The longest reign, longer than any other chess champion in history. He was married to Martha Cohn and died on January 11th, 1941 in New York. Thank you for listening. Hey, this is H1 and it's time to get down to business. And I'm going to start this off by just saying that you are a good chess player and I do not want you to underestimate your skill. That being said, if you lose a game, you can get better. There's no stopping you from progressing in chess. Whatever effort you put into the game, you will see the results. Okay? That's how chess is, and that's how chess will always be. Now, for those people who cannot control their emotions at all, which I have experienced everything at a chessboard. I have experienced people crying in front of me in a chessboard. I have experienced people throwing tantrums, throwing pieces, wrecking pieces. Right beside me, I was just playing in a chess tournament. This kid just like yelled out loud and then stormed off just randomly. If you cannot control your emotions at a chess game, let me just tell you that that's okay. It's cool to put your emotions in the game. A lot of chess players, a lot of grandmasters put their emotions in the games all the time. If you watch Hikaru Nakamura play his games on YouTube, you will see that he has several different facial expressions that he uses in a chess game. And if he's losing, he shows it on his face. If he's winning, then he shows it by how relaxed he is. So you can put 100% in a chess game. There is nothing wrong being sad. There is nothing wrong with being overly happy, but still stay respectful. Oh, one other thing too, it's important to know that you can show your emotions, but you can't lose control of them. So if you're crying, if you're crying at the chessboard, don't be like, dang, I'm just a worthless piece of crap and I'm just dust and I'm not anything compared to chess. I should just quit and I shouldn't even play the rest of this tournament because I wanted to be a good player, but I just can't do it. It's in my genetics. My dad and mom, they're not smart and they're the reason why I can't be a good chess player. Do not do that. That is not it at all. Please. That is silly. You can be a good chess player. Anybody can. No matter if you're smart or dumb, tall or small, big or skinny or whatever, you can be a good chess player. I've seen it all in the tournaments that I have been into. So, yeah, don't doubt yourself like that. That's really ridiculous. And if you need some encouragement, just text me on my, just DM me on my Instagram. Just be like, hey, I'm having problems with this and I don't know how to better myself. And I'll just DM you back and be like, hey, these are steps that you need to take. Especially since I'm having this Patreon, I guess I'm in this teaching mode now, which is dope. Now, another thing that I want to talk about, other than to not underestimate your skill and to there's nothing wrong with showing full emotions on a chess game as long as you're controlling them, is to please do not give up winning completely. There are people that from the beginning expects to lose. I never understood that. Why would you expect to lose a chess game? Or they think that they can't even win the chess game. They go for the word that I dislike the most. They go for a draw. Did you hear me? They go for a draw. A draw is only valid when you played a tough game. If you're not playing a game and you just play a few moves and you ask for a draw, or you go into some variation where you do a three move repetition, then that's not chess. You play chess to go for the win every single time. You go for the win. And to go for the win every single time, to change this perspective is going to be hard. First of all, I need you to set little goals and strive to win every game. And these little goals you can set is by, hey, let me just develop all my pieces first and just see how the game goes. B, let me see if the quality, do I got the space advantage? Who has the initiative in the middle game? What is the best move? Don't even think about the other stuff. Just think about trying to play your best moves in the chessboard. If you just think about that, then you don't even have to worry about expecting all these emotions of just losing that, or just saying that you're already going to lose. You need to quit that. You need to stop that. That's what I mean by setting little goals. So we can all be our own Magnus Carlsen or Garry Kasparov, or just be any champion that we want. And we need to just have that confidence to beat anybody else, but at the same time, be humble that your opponent is very, very knowledgeable and very good. You see how hypocritical chess can be sometimes? Because if you understand that last part, then you're on the right path. You know, every situation is different in chess. And when you understand that, the game becomes a lot easier. Now, make sure you challenge your opponents and go 100%. Just like My Hero Academia, you know, All Might, he always goes, I guess he doesn't always go, but he always does his best to be the hero to save everybody and go 100%. That's what we need to do with all of our opponents. We need to be at our 100%. Play your best openings. Do the right strategies. Don't do stuff that you don't know in a chess game. Don't do some special opening that you don't know and that you just unknown about the strategies in. That would be stupid. No, do the stuff that you know. Go 100%. Challenge your opponents and the things that you are knowledgeable about, that you have the advantage in. So if you have the advantage in open positions, then play an open position against everybody. Okay, play an open position, play e4 against everybody and learn those openings, and even play e4 against, let's say you faced your first grandmaster. Don't change it up to d4 just because it's a grandmaster. No, keep the stuff that you've already been playing. Just keep on being consistent, because that consistency is going to pay off in the long run. Now, a few last things. Concentration and focus on each game will make sure that you acquire all the knowledge you need. You staying focused and you concentrated in a chess game, on a chessboard, on every phase of the chess game, the opening, the middle game, the end game. You need to learn how to be focused 100% of the time, all the time, because anything can happen. You could be giving your opponent a draw when you're in a winning position, or if you're not focused in the beginning or in the opening, you could blunder a piece away, just blunder a piece away with a fork or something. So staying focused, staying concentrated will help you. One thing that I would do when I'm at a chess tournament, I would stay focused at a chess tournament. I would have my water already with me, or my bag of almonds already with me to eat, just to make sure that I have my brain fruit and that I'm mentally ready for this chess game. And a good thing to end this off with is, don't think of losses as the end of the world, because I'm pretty sure you're going to know that you are not alone. Everybody's been there. Everybody has lost a game. Don't think of losses as the end of the world. If you're a kid, or if you're a person that's over 70, I don't care what age, where you at, which country you're in, the loss is not the end of the world. And you're not alone. Because if nobody's there, I could tell you for sure that I've been there. So, by H1, you're not alone. Because now, if you've reached to this point, to my last episode of this season, you're family. This is the waiting room segment. Chess quotes by H1. And the quote of today is, listen to your brain to accept what is lame, which is the loss. Thanks for listening. Hey, man, it's been a long journey to get to this point, but you have made it. We are here, the H1 fam. And I'd just like to say thanks for listening, because I appreciate every single one of you that have been helping me since the beginning of when I started this. Let's say 5 months ago, back in 2020. That is crazy if you've been here for that long. And I'm acting like it's a long time, 5 months ago. But I'm just super happy for all the supporters that I have that's been with me even for that long. I appreciate everything, no matter how small it is. Now, for this next season that is going to be coming out, I am going to be taking a month break. So let me check my calendar, see when I'm going to start it back up. Now, you might be thinking, a month break is super long. Which it probably is. I'm not going to lie. It probably is. But I'm going to make sure that it doesn't seem that long, because I'm going to be giving out updates probably in 2 weeks on what I'm doing. And I'm especially going to throw out an episode of my launch of my Patreon. So that's going to be really important too, if you're ready to, you know, improving chess, watch videos, watch instructional videos, watch openings, and just be a part of this whole community. Now, I guess I'm just going to set the deadline for February 2nd for the next season. And the next season is going to be super exciting. I'm talking about chess personalities, the opening, the middle game, and the end game. And that's all the sneak peek I'm going to be saying right now. That's it. It's going to be awesome. I promise it is. So, I would just like to say thank you for being here. Just know that it doesn't end here. I will still be posting on my YouTube channel, Chess Knowledge with H1. That is still going. I am still on Instagram, H1 Chess. I do have a Facebook group that's called Chess Knowledge with H1, and a Facebook page that's called Chess Knowledge with H1. I do have a Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. I do have a TikTok called H1 Chess. I'm basically everywhere. So if you want to either message me, contact me, you can message me on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. You can comment on one of my videos so I can know where you are. Somebody else has already commented from Denmark, which that is crazy. That was one of my very first inspirational comments from a person that has listened to my podcast, which I appreciate you greatly. And yes, when I did that, I did bow down with my palms together. anyway, let's get back into it in February 2nd. I wish you all well. If you want the episodes early, it will be on my Patreon January 15th. I probably will have an episode already ready that week. So if you do want it early, if you do want early access, that is a way that you can get it early. Now, I do welcome you back, and I will see you soon so that we can run it back with some more chess knowledge. Peace.